You'll take your Bible with me and turn to the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 32. Now, I know we're all familiar with Jeremiah 33. Great verse in Jeremiah 33. Verse number 3, where the Lord says to Jeremiah, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." But Jeremiah chapter 32, and this is rocket science right here. Jeremiah 32 comes before Jeremiah 33. Amen? All right. Okay. Kevin, you get that? All right. Just checking. Cassie? Okay. All right. Jeremiah 32 comes before 33, and therefore it's important. If we're going to get to Jeremiah 33, we need to go through Jeremiah 32. And Jeremiah 32 is a very important passage of Scripture, because it speaks to us and tells us of the faith of Jeremiah. Tells us of the faith of Jeremiah. And I want us to look at that this morning. Because it takes faith to call upon God and ask God for great and mighty things. And yet God says, "Call unto me, I will answer thee. I will show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." But it takes faith. And I want us to see this morning the faith of Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 32. You know, today the world needs most of all to see Christians living by faith. The world does not need to see Christians worrying about what's going on. The world does not need to see Christians clamoring for their rights. The world does not need to see Christians arguing about politics. The world needs to see Christians that have the joy of the Lord on their face and from their lips, because they're living by faith. They're trusting God. The Bible says we are a light that shouldn't be hid. You know, in Acts chapter 2, by the way, when the disciples and the apostles stood up, when the Holy Spirit came down on Pentecost, and they began to speak, and it wasn't just Peter, but they all began to speak. And the Bible says that these unsaved Jewish people that were there and listening, it says, they said, "We hear in our own tongue the wonderful works of God." And as those disciples and as those apostles began to speak of Jesus Christ, they not only spoke about what Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary, but they spoke about how that transformed their lives. And they were given testimonies about their lives, how Christ changed their life, how Christ made a difference in their life. And what the world needs to see today is the life of a Christian that is radically different than the life of everybody else. And so this morning I want us to look at Jeremiah chapter 32. Jeremiah chapter 32 is a powerful chapter. It's an interesting chapter. And we'll begin reading at verse number 1, where the Bible says, "The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord in the 10th year of Zedekiah, king of Judah, which was the 18th year of Nebuchadnezzar. For then the king of Babylon's army besieged Jerusalem, and Jeremiah the prophet was shut up in the court of the prison, which was in the king of Judah's house. For Zedekiah, king of Judah, had shut him up, saying, 'Wherefore dost thou prophesy and say, Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will give this city into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall take it. And Zedekiah, king of Judah, shall not escape out of the hand of the Chaldeans, but shall surely be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon, and shall speak with him mouth to mouth, and his eyes shall behold his eyes. And he shall lead Zedekiah to Babylon, and there shall he be until I visit him, saith the Lord. Though ye fight with the Chaldeans, ye shall not prosper.'" Let's just stop right there and pray. Father in heaven, we thank you this morning for thy word. And Lord, I pray that your word would be a help to us this morning. Lord, a blessing to us, an encouragement to us, a challenge to us, and a real help to us in our lives, Lord. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So the situation is this. I mean, you think about a circumstance, a situation that looks pretty much bleak, if you will, and that's putting it nicely. It's the 10th year of Zedekiah, king of Judah, in verse number 1. And the king of Babylon has now besieged the city of Jerusalem. So they have surrounded the city of Jerusalem. So the prophecy that God has given to Jeremiah is already starting to take place. But Jeremiah is not only are the Babylonians, the king of Babylon, not only have they besieged the city, but Jeremiah, as he has spoken the truth, as what God has said, the king of Judah has put Jeremiah in prison. He shut him up. He says, I don't like what you're telling me that God's going to do. And so he shut him up in prison. The city is besieged. And yet in the midst of this, you know what we're going to see? We're going to see a man who calmly, solidly, continually just walks by faith. And what a powerful testimony it is. But here's the thing, and here's where we really, the verse, the portion of scripture that really stuck out to me and how important this is. And we're going to see this beginning in verse number 6. Jeremiah said, the word of the Lord came unto me saying, behold, Hanamiel, the son of Shallum, thine uncle, shall come unto thee saying, buy thee my field that is Anathoth, for the right of redemption is thine to buy it. So Hanamiel, mine uncle's son, came to me in the court of the prison, according to the word of the Lord, and said unto me, buy my field, I pray thee, that is Anathoth, which is in the country of Benjamin, for the right of inheritance is thine, and the redemption is thine. Buy it for thyself. Look at the last phrase here. Then I knew that this was the word of the Lord. You know, the first thing we want to see about Jeremiah's faith is how Jeremiah's faith became personal. Personal. And what I mean by that is when you look at the circumstance, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. In verse number 6, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah, saying, behold, Hanamiel, the son of Shallum, thy uncle, shall come unto thee, saying, buy thee my field that is in Anathoth. And verse number 8, it happened just as God said. But when you understand the context and the circumstances, the probability of this taking place was like 1,000,000 to 1. The odds were against this ever happening because they're besieged. Remember, Jerusalem is besieged. The place that God told Jeremiah to purchase from his uncle is outside of Jerusalem. And it's in a place that is already occupied by the enemy. So the enemy has already taken this land. They've conquered this land. They've besieged this place. And this is within the boundaries of where the enemy has already come forth. And yet the Lord says to Jeremiah, your uncle is going to come and ask you to buy this piece of property. Now, without going into all the reasons why his uncle would do this or anything, God said, this is what's going to take place. And look at verse number 8. So Hanamiel, mine uncle's son, came to me in the court of the prison, according to the word of the Lord, and said unto me, buy my field. And Jeremiah saw that exactly what God said happened. And the lesson that Jeremiah learned and the lesson that we learned is Jeremiah said, boy, I know this is the word of the Lord. And all of a sudden, that word of the Lord became so personal to Jeremiah. Now, when you read down through verse number 9, down through verse number 15, boy, I'll tell you what, Jeremiah is now going to stand up. He's going to purchase that land. He's going to purchase that land before witnesses. And he's going to make it public that he has purchased this land before witnesses. Just stop and consider for a moment how foolish Jeremiah looked at this moment in his life. He's in the court of the prison. He's imprisoned by the king because he has given a message about what God is going to do. The enemy has besieged the city. They already control the land. And Jeremiah stands up and says, you know, I will buy that piece of property. I will give my money. I approach that piece of property. And he stands up, he gets witnesses, and then he tells Baruch, and he tells others, and all the Jewish people. And everybody around is saying, are you crazy? But you know what Jeremiah knew? Jeremiah knew, doesn't matter what everybody thinks. Doesn't matter what anybody else says. I know this is the word of God. And he knew it personally. And you know, if we're going to live by faith, more and more we have got to let our faith become personal. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? Well, I mean this. We will be quick to say that we know the Word of God is true. If I were to take a survey this morning, I would say, how many of you believe the Word of God is true? Everyone in this room would say, I believe the Word of God is true. The Bible says, thy word is truth. We say we believe the Word of God. But when it comes down to personally believing it, do we really believe it? The Bible says, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Correct? Amen? Amen. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And that has to become more than a statement that we read and say with our mind that we believe, and it has to become a personal faith within our very heart and soul and life. Because if it doesn't, you'll never get to Jeremiah 33 where you'll call upon God for great things in regard to needs. But when it does become personal, you will come to that point. And I can give you testimony after testimony how God is able and does provide all of our needs. Personal testimonies. But more than that, how God meets all our needs right here. Right here. When this whole virus thing started, the first week we didn't take an offering, God put a FedEx envelope outside my door with about $5,000 in it. That's God. And it wasn't from anybody within this congregation. Now, how did God do that? Because God is able to take care of all our needs. And he's done that over and over and over again. Citywide Baptist Church. God took care of all our needs down at Citywide. We needed a piano. God gave us a piano from the other side of the state. Woman calls up, calls on the phone and says, hey, heard somewhere that you guys need a piano. We got a brand new piano. If you want it, you can have it. Just please have a professional moving company move it out of the house. She must have known more about us than we knew about ourselves. But not only that need, not only did we need a physical piano, but someone to play the piano. You see, God's not only able to provide material needs, But he's also, he can provide all of our needs. We needed someone to play the piano. And guess what? God raised up a man from New London, a man named Steve, he's in glory right now, that raised his hand one Tuesday night and says, I can play. He got up, he walked to that piano, and he started playing hymns like he had been in a piano player in church all his life. God is able to do that, folks. Same thing has happened here. Same thing has happened there. Same thing has happened in Willimantic. Same thing happens in our personal lives. And so when the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God's righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, you can hear all the testimonies you want from others. But when it becomes personal, it changes the way that you live. And I'll tell you how. It takes away the fear of finances and replaces it with faith in God. So you don't have to fear where it's coming from, because you know your God has promised to supply your every need. Well, that's just one aspect of the Word of God. Here's another one. John 17:17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. We know that the Bible says that. But do we really believe it? Do we really believe? Do we really honestly believe? Do we personally believe that this alone can change a person's life? I know it. I know it personally in my own life. I know it personally from the testimonies of others. And I know this, and I challenge you, I know this. I know this, if every person in this room took a challenge and said for 1 month, I'm not going to turn on the news, I'm not going to turn on Facebook, I'm not going to read another book, but I'm going to spend 3 hours a day right here, I guarantee at the end of 30 days, there'd be revival at Lakes Palm Baptist Church. I guarantee it because God says it. But you see, we got to believe it. The Bible says in 2 Timothy that God will open doors of utterance to give the gospel out. Wednesday night, I asked you to pray. I said, let's pray for our neighborhoods. Let's pray for our communities. Let's pray that God gives us opportunities in our communities to reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I told you, I asked you to pray for the Four Corners right down here at Chesterfield. And I said, pray for Chesterfield. I believe God's doing a work there. I know God's doing a work there. I know it right now. So this morning, I'm driving down Grassy Hill Road. And I said, Lord, open a door this morning, right now. I'm on my way to church, Lord. Open a door right now in Chesterfield, right now. Right now, this morning, Lord, open that door of utterance right now. And I'm driving down Chesterfield. I take the corner. I come up Route 85, and I see a man that I've spoken to before. So I pull in, and I say, well, I said his name, and then he told me that wasn't his name, which is par for the course. I get that wrong, and I apologize. And he says, no big deal. I says, listen, let me ask you something. Would you and your wife like to have a Bible study? He says, what do you mean? I says, would you and your wife be willing? I said, I'd love to come down and just spend some time and open up the Word of God. And I says, I love the Bible. I'll open up the Bible. We can talk about the Bible. He says, we'd love it. We'd like to. Guess what, folks? God opened a door of utterance. God opened a door of utterance. He gave me his phone number. He says, call me. He says, I got to work today, but call me. God opened a door of utterance not only to people, but especially when you have a... Hey, by the way, did your dad know the Heisies? Pete Heisey over in Romania? You were in Erie, Pennsylvania. Okay, moving on. Anyways, it was about that time that you knew the Heisies? Okay. Because it was about the time your dad went over the Fijis, that the Heisies went to Romania, and they were both from Pennsylvania. So anyways, got that one wrong too, didn't I? But anyways, the reason I said that is because when God puts your burdens your heart for a special group of people, he'll open the doors there. This couple, this Bible study, guess what? Not only is it opening up, but it's an opening of a door to the Hispanic people in our area, George. Speaking of which, talk about God providing a need, right? We needed someone to translate up in Willimantic. What did God do? He brings us George. Amen? And boy, they miss you up there when you're not there, George. All right? Because God is able to provide all need. God is able to sanctify us through his truth. God is able to do all these things, folks. But it has to become personal to the point where I don't just read it and say, yes, I believe it. No, but I really believe it. I believe it. That's what happened in Jeremiah's life. He says, then I knew that this was the word of the Lord. I challenge you to underline that phrase right there and just think about it and say to yourself, do I really know that this is the word of the Lord? When it comes to this verse, when it comes to this truth, when it comes to this. Here's another one. Charity never faileth. Charity never faileth. That has to be personal, folks. To the point where you say, you know what? I'm just going to keep loving folks. I'm just going to keep loving that person. It will never, but no. Charity never faileth. You can't go wrong loving something through the Lord Jesus Christ. Because God says it'll never fail. And so these truths that we read them so often, we preach them so often, we study them so often. But folks, they've got to come to where they're personal, where we really believe it, where honestly it grips our heart. And I say, you know what? I can go by faith. I can live by faith. I can walk by faith. I can know that when I open this book, it's going to change my life if I let it. I can trust God for all my needs. I don't have to fret and worry about whether or not God's going to take care of me. Listen, there's so many Christians today that are worried about the church. Listen, hey, listen, we don't need to worry about the church. We don't need to worry about the government. We don't need to worry about politics. Lord Jesus Christ said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So stop worrying about the church. Stop worrying about what the government's going to do. Stop worrying about what everybody's going to do. Jesus said, I will build my church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. But we have to believe that personally, folks. Otherwise, we'll just fade away. And so number one, he had a personal faith, and his faith became more personal every time. Became more personal. I could take a lot of time to just share with you personal testimonies about how God does honor his word when we believe it personally. But you see, that led to something else. That led to something else. His faith not only became personal, but now his faith became powerful. Powerful. Remember, Jeremiah is standing up and he's standing up and he is a light to everybody around him. Because Jeremiah is standing up, he's in prison, the enemy has besieged the city, and Jeremiah stands up and says, the Lord told me to purchase this land, and so I'm going to purchase this land. And to everybody around, he looked like a nut. Are you serious, Jeremiah? You're going to purchase this? And Jeremiah said, yeah. But his faith not only was personal, but his faith grew to be powerful. Powerful. And when I say his faith was powerful, it wasn't that his faith was powerful, but that his faith was in the power of God, not in himself. Because when your faith becomes personal, it's faith that is trusting and relying upon God, not yourself. When you understand and you really believe, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. When that becomes personal, it leads to a powerful faith that you trust God that you will be able to do all things through Christ, which strengthens you. And look, come down to verse number 16, because now his faith becomes powerful. Because verse 16, now when I had delivered the evidence of the purchase unto Baruch the son of Neriah, I prayed unto the Lord, saying, and look at his prayer. All right? Ah, Lord God. And just stop and reread that phrase again. Ah, Lord God. That's just a phrase that's springing forth from the depths of his heart. Ah, Lord God. But he goes on, behold. That whole phrase there, ah, Lord God, behold, is one of just magnitude in the heart of Jeremiah. And what is he saying? Thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. Jeremiah says, you know what, Lord? You said you were going to bring this man to me, and he was going to say these words, and he did. And Lord, that just reaffirms for me how great and powerful you are, that God could do that. And then he goes and he says, but Lord, you're so great and powerful. You created heaven and earth. And he speaks and he thinks and he meditates. And he really begins to, I don't want to say he begins to, because Jeremiah lived by faith, but his faith is in the power of God, that God is able. Look what it says. There is nothing too hard for thee. Now, do you really believe that? Do you really believe that this morning? The person you're praying for to get saved, it's not too hard for God. For God to take care of your needs, it's not too hard for God. For God to give you strength to live the Christian life, it's not too hard. For God to change your life through his word, it's not too hard for God. Jeremiah said, there's nothing too hard for thee. And he goes on to speak not only about the power of God, but the nature of God. Thou showest loving kindness unto thousands. And by the way, this is all under the power of God. By his power, he shows loving kindness unto thousands, recompensing the iniquity of the fathers unto the bosom of their children after them. The great, the mighty God, the Lord of hosts is his name. But look what he says. Not only great in power, but great in counsel. Because it's not only is God powerful, not only is God able, but God also knows the when, the where, the why, the how, and all the details of what he is purposing and planning to do. These folks come in this morning, they stop by, they don't have any idea what's going to happen when they walk into this church. Especially when she mentions she's from Central, they have no idea how they're going to be received, right? They're trusting God. I had no idea they were coming. But I said, you know what? Lord, you brought them here. Amen? And they're one of us. Amen? And they're serving the Lord. Amen? That's God doing that, folks. I don't take these as coincidences. We have a missionary coming from Israel in August. Remind me, I'll give you the details, Secretary Erica. Just got myself in trouble there. All right? But you know, I'm sitting on the couch one night. It's like 9:30 at night, and I get a phone call, and I don't recognize the number. Now, usually when I don't recognize the number at 9:30 at night, I don't answer the phone. I know you do. You answer the phone for every person that calls you, right? No, I get spam calls just like you do all the time. So 9:30 at night, I'm sitting on the couch and the phone rings at 9:30 at night and I don't recognize the number. And for some reason, the Lord just prompted me to answer the phone. And I wind up talking with a man who's in Israel for a half an hour. And the Lord just put us together. So he said, hey, I think I'm going to be in Connecticut coming by in August. I said, well, come on over. Why not? Amen? Because this is how the Lord works. And he says, great is his counsel, mighty in work. And then he goes on to speak about the history of what God has done for Israel. And he's just building his faith. He says, I've seen what God has done by his word in my life. And he says, I've seen from the creation of the world all the way through the history of Israel what God is able to do. And all of a sudden, his faith just increases in power. Becomes a powerful faith, not in himself, but in God. And folks, the more our faith becomes personal, the more our faith will become powerful. Because the more we see God do what we might think are the small things, or the more we see God fulfill his word in our personal life, the more we'll say, man, there is nothing too hard for God. If God can open the doors, I'm driving down Chesterfield Road or driving down Grassy Hill Road. If he can put that man in the parking lot of his apartment place as I'm coming down, if God can put those two things together at the right instant of time, because we've prayed for God to open a door, boy, that ought to show us that God is able to do great things. And he is. If we believe him, if we trust him. Last Sunday afternoon, up there at Willimantic, we just started having a burden for one man that we had in Israel. Ray, Israel. We hadn't seen Israel for months. Hadn't seen him for months. It's like he disappeared off the face of Willimantic. And well, actually he had. And so we're standing there and we asked, anybody know where Israel might be? And someone said, well, he moved to Norwich. And we said, oh, that's too bad. We'd love to see him. We've got to pray for him. 2 minutes later, who walks in the door? Israel. We stopped the hymns. We said, Israel, we were just talking about you. We were just asking the Lord where you were. And Israel says, yeah, I had to move back to Willimantic. I got to get back to church. God had already answered the burden of our heart before we even spoke about it as a church up there. Imagine that. God had already moved the man back from Norwich to Willimantic, put him in a place, put him in an apartment, and brought him to church. And we're just beginning to pray about it. That's our God, folks. There is nothing too hard for our God. And so when your faith becomes personal, really personal, it increases to a powerful faith to the point that you're able to really pray in faith. And it becomes a praying faith. Because look at in verse number 16, when I delivered the evidence of the purchase unto the Baruch, the son of Neriah, I prayed unto the Lord. And here's Jeremiah's prayer. And he prays, and he begins with the greatness of God, the power of God. He goes on with the assurance of what God has done in the history of Israel. And then he comes down to verse number 25. And thou hast said unto me, O Lord God, buy thee the field for money, and take witnesses, for the city is given unto the hand of the Chaldeans. And basically saying, Lord, you told me to buy this land, and I bought it. And so in other words, what he's doing in his prayers, he prays, he's committing himself to the Lord. He says, Lord, you are great, you are mighty, there's nothing too hard for you. And he says, and you told me to buy this land, and I did it. And his prayer is basically, he's saying, Lord, I'm committing it all to you. I commit it all to you. And his prayer was powerful because it was personal. And the Lord responded and said, there isn't anything too hard for me. And so, if we're going to be a light for this world, folks, and this world needs right now a light, they need a light. They need to see. More than anything, they need to see the reality of Jesus Christ in your life, in the workplace. They don't need to hear you shouting and screaming. They don't need to hear you arguing. They don't need to hear your political views. They don't need to hear your views on everything that's going on. They certainly don't need to hear all our views and opinions on the coronavirus. What they need to see is faith. That in the midst of everything that's going on, there's a peace in your heart and life. There's a joy that you have because you're walking by faith. You're trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because we're to live by faith. And then the Lord says in Jeremiah 33, now, Jeremiah, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and I will show thee great mighty things which thou knowest not. And God will. God will. But our faith needs to be personal. It needs to be powerful, and it needs to be prayerful. We need to believe God in a very personal way. We need to believe that everything that God says in this book is true. It does work. It is real. You know why? Because it is. But it needs to be personal. It needs to grip my heart so that I say, you know what? I know whom I have believed in. And I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Because when our faith becomes personal, it does become powerful, and it leads us to be able to pray. Whether it's praying in our homes, whether it's praying in church, whether it's praying as we drive down the road, we can pray and see God answer. And we will call upon God, and he will show us great and mighty things, which we know not. Things that are beyond our comprehension, beyond our ability, beyond our power. But there is nothing too hard for God. And so let your faith become more personal. Let it become more personal. When you open up this book and you read it, you say, Lord, strengthen my faith. Let that verse that I'm reading this morning, let it become real. Let me really believe it. Help me to believe it, Lord. Help me to believe that you will supply all my needs according to your riches and glory. Help me to believe that you will open doors for me to talk to people. Help me to believe that you will change my life. Lord, I've been struggling with this for 3,000 years, Lord. But your word says you can change it. Let God do a work in your life so that people around us will say, wow. What we hear, what we see is the wonderful works of God. And they'll want to turn to him and trust him. Let's pray.